It always startles me when I hear that Jesus emptied himself, became like a slave and mortally humbled himself upon the cross. For me, for you, he humbled himself, put himself and all the divine treasures aside, that he may become one of us. The 40-day Lenten season begins with passion songs and prayers for mercy. Begins with Psalm 51 and its prayer of repentance. And it begins with Ash Wednesday ashes, when we're reminded of our own human mortality, that we are made from the dust of the earth, and to dust we will return, and we are told to repent and believe the gospel. I guess every day we should confront our own Ash Wednesdays. Lent is a season to renew the cruciform discipline and the baptismal covenant in our lives, and to claim again that we need God, the Creator, and that without God, we're dust. For me, Ash Wednesday is not about the ashes. This year, I didn't receive ashes on my forehead, but on the back of my hand. And unintentionally, every time I looked at the back of my hand, I was reminded that the ashes must smudge deeper than the skin of our forehead or the back of our hand. This whole Ash Wednesday Lenten journey is very serious. It's serious enough for the ashes to be imposed upon our hearts, so that we mortally realize that Jesus emptied himself, humbled himself, that God became one of us from the dust of the earth. It's so serious that we can do nothing but repent and believe the gospel. The Lenten season is a season of a change of heart, turning around and growing toward the one who loves us the most, who loves us so much that God became one of us. Lent forces us to pause and listen to the voice of God say, "You are my beloved." It's about allowing those words to shape the way we live our lives and mold the way we love others as beloved of God, so that others can hear and know the voice of God say to them, "You are my beloved." That's how the Lenten journey should begin and continue. With ashes, not on our foreheads, not on the backs of our hands, but ashes on our hearts, to be reminded that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. God reaches to us, to the world, through Jesus Christ. The Creator reaches to every beloved child, embraces us, and the messes of our lives, and leads us to the cross to show us the hope of resurrection. I guess that's why Paul's words in Philippians about Jesus always startle me. I heard once a story about Johnny. We all know Johnny stories, don't we? I once heard a story about Johnny, a third grader, sitting in class when all of a sudden there was a little voice inside that said, "Johnny, you gotta go." Johnny was in class and he needed to go to the restroom now. But he was timid and shy when it came to those kinds of things, and he thought he could wait until lunchtime. If I wait long enough, he thought, maybe it'll go away. But it didn't go away. It just got worse. So he tightened his grip on the desk and he clenched his teeth and he set his jaw and he wished with everything in him that it would just go away. And it did go all at once. Down his pant leg and onto the floor. And when he looked down and saw with his eyes what he felt in his jeans, he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe that something so horrible had happened to him. A grown third grader. He was ashamed, humiliated. He thought he'd just die right there at his desk. Because he knew what would happen when all the other guys in class found out. They'd laugh and make fun of him. Call him hideous names that would haunt him for the rest of his life. And when the girls found out it would only be worse, they'd giggle and turn their heads and say, "Ooh, gross." If you can remember the pressures of the third grade and trying to learn to write in cursive, you know it was awful. His heart was broken in two. His jeans were wet. And he was beyond embarrassed, so he prayed. "Dear God, please help me. If they find out, my life will be over." And he opened his eyes and looked down to see if his prayer had been answered. But the accident was still in a pool on the floor. And when he looked up, the teacher was walking toward him. And his heart sank. She would see it. That's the thing about well-worn jeans. You just get them damp and it's like night and day, dark and light. So everybody would know, the whole class, the whole school. That's how he would be remembered at his 25th high school reunion. Johnny, the kid who wet his pants in the third grade. Well, when the teacher was just a few steps away, Susie walked by his desk carrying a big glass bowl, the kind of bowl you put goldfish in. The fish bowl was filled with water for a science experiment they were about to do in class. And right there in front of the teacher, Susie tripped and stumbled and dumped the fish bowl filled with water right in Johnny's lap. And when she did, of course, Johnny jumped up out of his seat and said, "Oh, no." But inside he was saying, "Yes, thank you, Jesus." And in that split second, everything changed for Johnny. The boy who would have been shamed and mocked and laughed at maybe forever was surrounded by people who felt sorry for him and wanted to help, grabbing paper towels, soaking the water up and saying, "Poor Johnny." And just like that, this terribly bashful boy became the most popular in class that day, all day long. But the shaming and mocking didn't just go away. It all went to Susie, the little girl who had tripped and stumbled. Klutz, they called her. Miss Grace, they called her. The whole class was horrible to Susie the whole day at school. Johnny got lots and lots of attention, even made some new friends. But Susie was shunned and shamed. And at the end of the day, Susie was waiting alone for the bus. And Johnny walked over and stood beside her, and in a whisper, he said, "You did that on purpose, didn't you?" And Susie nodded yes. And Johnny said, "How come?" And Susie said, "I wet my pants once too. I know how it feels." Jesus the Christ was in the form of God, but he did not regard equality with God as something to cling to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's what Jesus did. He knows how it feels. He humbled himself. He emptied himself for you, for me. The Son of the living God, Jesus, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, humbled himself for all of us. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Remember that hymn? Remember when it says, "Stoop to my weakness, mighty as thou art." That's what Jesus did, the Son of the living God. The Son who was and is and will always be God, humbled himself and stooped to our weakness. Emmanuel knelt to wash the dirty feet of the very people who would deny and betray and desert him. He stooped to us in our weakness, threw his arms around us, and loved us as messy as we are. And he got our mess, our sin and stain, our dirt and ungodliness all over himself, just so he could love us and bring us back to the Father and to make us love as we ought to love. Just like Susie, the little girl with the fishbowl, he took our shame. He humbled himself. God in the flesh, full of glory and honor and power and majesty, took the shame and dishonor and brokenness that was ours and put it on himself to become a servant, a slave, an obedient slave to the point of his own death on a cross. And all of this he did for you, for me, for all. And that, Paul says, shows his love to us, and that while we were still sinners, while we were still stained, still messed up, still covered with the grime and dust and ashes of sin and self-centeredness, gave his life for us, delivered us from sin and death and anything that would separate us and the God who loves us. Have you ever heard of Brennan Manning? Brennan Manning was a priest and a wonderful writer, best known for his book, The Ragamuffin Gospel. And he has an amazing story about how he got his name, Brennan. Because Brennan wasn't his name, at least it wasn't what Mr. and Mrs. Manning gave him when he was born back in the Great Depression. His name was Richard Francis Xavier Manning. And when he was growing up, his best friend was a kid named Ray. And the two of them were like two peas in a pod. They did everything together. They bought a car together as teenagers. They double dated together. They went to school together. Richard Francis Xavier Manning and Ray even enlisted in the Army together. They went to boot camp together. And they fought on the front, sitting in a foxhole. Richard Manning was reminiscing about the old days back in Brooklyn. And his lifelong buddy, Ray, was listening and eating a chocolate bar when suddenly a live grenade dropped into the foxhole. And Ray looked at Richard, smiled, dropped his chocolate bar, and threw himself onto the live grenade. And the grenade exploded, killing Ray. But Richard Manning's life was spared. Well, when Richard was ordained a priest in the Franciscan order, he was asked to take the name of a saint. And he thought of his friend who had taken the grenade and saved his life, Ray Brennan. So he chose to receive the name Brennan. And years later, the priest went to visit Ray's mother in Brooklyn. And they sat up late one night having tea, and Father Brennan Manning asked Ray's mother, "Do you think Ray loved me?" And that's when Mrs. Brennan got up off the couch and walked over to the priest. And she shook her finger in front of Father Brennan's face, and she said, "What more could he have done for you? What more could he have done?" And Father Brennan said that at that moment he experienced a revelation. He said he imagined himself standing before the cross of Jesus, wondering, "Does God really love me? Does God really love me?" And Jesus' mother, pointing to her son and saying, "What more could he have done for you?" Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It always startles me when I hear again that Jesus emptied himself, became like a slave, and mortally humbled himself upon the cross. For you, for me, he humbled himself, put himself and all the divine treasures aside, that he may become one of us, just to save us. Amen.